Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me again on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the story of David, and we're in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And this entire chapter is a story that gives us a lot of insight into how things happened, what was going on, the dynamics, the politics of the day. And when you read these accounts, you find out nothing has really changed. It's sort of a long account. It's 19 verses, but I want to read through the whole thing, I think, today. So just listen to what happened. Verse 1 says this. Now, it happened afterwards that the king of the Ammonites died, and Hanun, his son, became king in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the king of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent some of his servants to console him concerning his father. So let me pause here for a moment. See what happens. The king of the Ammonites died. His son takes over. David says, you know, I want to send some emissaries there just to show kindness to him and to console him at the death of his father, because his father was very kind to me and I want to reciprocate this kindness. Verse 2 continues. But when David's servants came to the land of the Ammonites, the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that David is honoring your father because he has sent consolers to you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? We see this all through Scripture. You'll see the voice of questioning, okay, particularly speaking to those that are in leadership position. Quite often, they're younger friends, you know, which is what's going on here in this. And they're saying, oh, no, these are not here to console. They're here to spy. Verse 4. So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half their beards and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. So he cut their robes in half, exposing them, okay, cut off half their beards. I don't know if that means half the length of their beards. I'm more inclined to think it means that they shaved half their face. So one side would be a beard, another side would be clean shaven. Because this was, verse 5 says this. When they told it to David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly humiliated. So these emissaries of David, they didn't even come back to David. David hears what happens. And he sends to meet them, to meet with the men. They didn't want to come before him because of their humiliation. Verse 5, and the king said, stay at Jericho until your beards grow and then return. Well, that would take a period of time. Maybe not as long as you would think, but it would take a period of time, right? Now, verse 6, now hang on to all these names. Now, when the sons of Ammon saw that they had become odious to David. In other words, they stunk in David's nostril because of what they've done in treating his emissaries this way. When they saw this, the sons of Ammon sent and hired Arameans of Beth Rehob and the Arameans of Zophah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Maacah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob with 12,000 men. So when the Ammonites realized what they had done and that David was hacked off with them, they went and hired a bunch of mercenaries to fight for them, maybe even protect them, but definitely to fight for them. Now, verse 7. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. The sons of Ammon came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the city, while the Arameans of Zophah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. So you got one group over here, the Ammonites over here. You got the Arameans over here. They're drawn to the battle. And you got these other men out in the field awaiting. Verse 9. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon. So what we're getting here is staging. Joab saw what was going on. He had an enemy in front of him and an enemy behind him. So he took some of the men, and he got ready to go against the Arameans. He told his brother to take the balance of the men and go against the Ammonites. Now he's about to tell his brother, hey, we're going to defend one another. Verse 11, he said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to help you. And then this declaration, verse 12. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So this is a declaration of David's military leader. He says, be strong. Show yourself courageous for the sake of the people, for the city, and for God. And then the bottom line is, may the Lord do what is good in his sight. We're in the hands of the Lord. Verse 13. When Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, they fled before them. So he goes to battle against them. They immediately turn around and hightail it out of there. Verse 14. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. So here's what happened. Ammon and the Arameans both fled. Okay, when Israel started moving toward them under Joab and under Abishai, they ran away. Now, when the Arameans saw this and saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. They regrouped. Verse 16, and Hadadezer sent and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobak, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, led them. And so they sent for reinforcements. They got more Arameans that came. Verse 17, now when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came to Helam. And the Arameans arrayed themselves to meet David and fought against him. But the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers, I guess you would say, of the Arameans, and 40,000 horsemen, and struck down Shobak, the commander of their army, and he died there. When all the king's servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Arameans feared to help the sons of Ammon anymore. So that last verse, what happened? You had these kings that were servants of Hadadezer. When they saw that he was defeated by Israel, they came, they made peace with Israel and served Israel, David and Israel. So then the Arameans feared to help the sons of Ammon anymore. In other words, these two enemies of Israel did not join forces together because of what they experienced right here. Again, it gives you a lot of insight into what was occurring. Sometimes we think that in a biblical account like David, he becomes king, so everything's hunky-dory, right? There's no more problem. Mm-hmm. There's no more pressure or anything like that, and nothing could be further from the truth. David had problems from without. David had problems from within, as we will see, just like us. But David kept doing. He kept doing what we're supposed to do. He kept seeking the Lord. He kept his eyes upon the Lord. He kept inquiring of the Lord. And as the Lord described David, his heart was after the Lord. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.